everybody.
Cheryl's throwing us off the air.
Kicking us right out.
Come on, Cheryl.
I don't know what happened. Anyway, we're back. We're here for Growing with NTI. Welcome everybody in the room and all our dedicated, devoted listeners out there in Radio Land.
I'm sure that's where the majority of them are.
Because they're not here. Kathy, I just want to say how sweet that was of you on Sunday. My message was ambiguous. I was trying to be cute and talk about Southern Indiana being soon to be in my rearview mirror. It sounded like I was pulling out of the driveway.
I thought you knew something I didn't know, and maybe she'd already left.
Yeah, but we're Kathy was giving me a shout out on Sunday because we are leaving for I say we euphemistically.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're leaving for Colorado on April the 20th. So it's coming right up.
Pack this whole house.
I know. The good news is we showed it today without a realtor, and the woman is excited about it. She came back to take pictures, so we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
Yeah, so our woe is me list is shorter this week.
I got a lot going on. I told Regina today, she said, "You got a lot going on." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. Just ask me. I'll tell you."
I came in. She and Tom seem to be doing really well.
Life is good, folks. Life is good. So,
okay.
So, we are here for Growing with NTI, and start with a prayer. Shall I conduct that prayer, or shall you, my dear Sister Connie?
You.
All right. So, let's take a moment. Yeah, and we'll just use this moment to express our gratitude for all things, regardless of how they show up. You know, they really are. Everything is for our healing, and we appreciate the opportunity to practice healing and to acknowledge Grace's presence and... We would dedicate this hour upcoming to being aware of love's presence. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's really funny, or it's really sweet. We were talking today. I was complaining about having an ear infection, and Jacqueline was talking about.
Oh, I'd had that experience a couple times before, and
it felt like it was a part of your awakening process.
Yeah, it really felt like God was in there, like, or whomever, however that works, in there switching stuff around. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say. So just being grateful for everything. I mean, not knowing what anything is for. So just the whole premise of not having to judge anything. I mean, an earache could that be a part of my awakening? Lovely.
Yeah.
So you know, it might make you complain a little less if it's about your spiritual unfoldment, right?
Yeah, if it's like, ooh, well, it's like you always say about David Hoffmeister. He got the message early on that everyone had a gift for him. So when he met someone, he's like, ooh, where's my gift?
Yeah.
And if we can just see all the things that way, ooh, okay, this doesn't actually appear to be good. But where's my gift?
Yeah.
So it's always the gift of awakening. And Cheryl has asked, how is that going to work for you two with NTI? And we don't know that yet, Cheryl. I have talked about maybe doing Google Hangouts or Skype or whatever we work out here. We need to get something worked out so that we can continue to do it together. And it would be nice if we had, you know, that visual contact as well, you know, because that's what we're used to. And then, you know, one of us hook up to Pal Talk in addition to that. Although I canceled my cable here today and got cable out there. Here I've got 200 Mbps download speeds. There I have three.
Not 300.
Three.
Wonder how that's involved in your
Right?
enlightenment.
Connie, I have to get a couple of tin cans and a very long piece of string.
Yeah, and of course, where I live, I'm out in the middle of the country, and I'm dropping the line and all that all the time too.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out. We could do it by phone. It would, like I say, it'd be nice to do the video part of it. Just feel more like this. So
Yeah.
we'll work it out. Hey, Meg. Okay. So, Growing with NTI. We should probably read the book.
2 Corinthians chapter 9.
That's correct. Page 319. Cat loves tea. She loves it. Stay out of the tea. All right. So, when you believe in the world, you make the mistake of acting out your belief in the world. How is this a mistake? Truly, it is a mistake because you took an action. Let me try again. Is it? It's a question. Is it a mistake because you took an action that you shouldn't have? Is this a mistake because you have revealed yourself to your brothers as less than what they thought you were? No, but that's often the mistake I think I'm making. Is this a mistake within the world for which you are guilty? This is what you believe, but you believe this because you believe the world is true. And this is why acting in the world is a mistake. Acting on your belief that the world is real is a mistake because it continues the belief within the mind. Yeah, I mean, it's just using that, using whatever. It's maintaining that self. It's like, ooh, how did I show up? What, of course, what comes to mind is that fiasco I called teaching gentle healing last week. And Blanchard calls it me trying to be Regina Light. Because, as I said, there are many times, man, you should have been here for NTI because I taught this stuff good an hour ago. But not so much when I got to gentle healing. But those were exactly the thoughts that were in my mind. How am I showing up? And I could see the thoughts, but I couldn't kick them to the curb. I'm like, shut up!
You ain't me.
You ain't me. And they're like,
I am too. And he went, okay.
Yeah, but it's if you're listening to these thoughts, and they're all doubt thoughts, right? But if you're listening to them, you're reinforcing your belief that there is a world, that you're a separate entity in the world, you're limited, you're lacking, you're subject to whatever, ridicule or,
Yeah,
it's just all the same steps and crap.
I had an incident in my life with my partner. It's in Venice, Florida. So something was said, and I said, "Look, I can disappoint you 1,000 miles away." She texted back and said, "You're disappointing yourself because I know who you are." And I thought, well,
Wow, that's pretty enlightened.
yeah.
Well, that's impressive. Aw, sweet story. Thank you. Okay, so remember this. Whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously shall also reap generously. This means that what you give, you experience.
In direct proportion.
Whatever the measure you give is the measure you meet, or
Right.
whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you know, if, am I looking through this filter? If I'm looking through this filter, then, you know, that's what I'm going to experience. And, you know, again, I'll use that contrast. I mean, last week, NTI, I was like, we were rocking. I said, I think I'm going to just buzz right out of here or something, you know. Because I was allowing whatever to be what it was, and you know, and it, and the good stuff was coming. Good, you hear the judgment in that, right? And so it was a good experience. And then when I started using this other measuring stick, you know, the Regina Light measuring stick, I was miserable. I was miserable. All of you were miserable. but you know, it's like whatever camp you want to be in, you know, that's what you're going to experience. It was that you know, and I proved that last week. Your actions within the world are not important in themselves. They cannot be. The world is not real, and you, in truth, are not in the world. You are a mind experiencing yourself in a world that does not exist. You know, we talked about that last week, too. We talked about the fact that... we talked about the fact that, you know, the truth is that, you know, we think we are an entity within the world. And the truth is the world is within us. And that, and we were talking about that in terms of like the signs that, you know, what you're experiencing kind of tell you what it is that you're believing, the same idea. But the truth is the world appears within the mind that is you, not the other way around, not the 180 degree way that we normally think of it, is that we appear in the world. The world appears within the mind that is you.
Cool.
The world is not real, and you, in truth, are not in the world. You are a mind experiencing yourself in a world that does not exist. But as you seem to act in the world based on your belief that you are in the world, the belief and delusion continues within the mind.
That's a big old paragraph, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Cheryl says, ding, ding, ding. So, as you sow delusion, you shall experience delusion. This is to give nothing and to experience nothing as if it is real. This is simply to dream. This is to engage in fantasy. It is nothing. Although it may frighten you. Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure.
Sorry, folks. Allergies. Maybe not.
Perceived allergies, she means.
Step away from your fear. Be willing to see that fantasy isn't reality. Give unto yourself by willing not to continue thoughts of non-giving. Relax into your trust in me. As you continue to believe in the world, act on your trust in me. This is not an action in the world, for there is no world. But this is giving, because this is telling the mind that the truth must be true. This is waking up from the dream by not participating in the belief in the dream anymore. And, you know, this is the practice that Connie was talking about last week when, or a couple weeks ago, like that scene, the elevator scene from Revolver. She said she'd been seeing thoughts and just saying, what do you say to
her? You ain't me.
You ain't me. Which, you know, it's just not believing it. I mean, even if you get caught up in it, it's just a simple
denial
of the denial of truth, as A Course in Miracles would say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
Yeah, because you watch that eagle rise up and going, I don't think you're going to pass me right now, buddy Roe. And they go, wait a minute, you ain't me.
You mean when you're driving and
Yeah.
somebody's going to be whap out in front of you? Yeah. Whip out in front of you.
Whap out.
Whap out. Whip out in front of you. And you're like, hey! And you go, oh yeah. The thought that he shouldn't be doing that, you're not me. Yeah. The mind knows its own thoughts and it reacts to them. The world is not real. It is a delusion of the mind, but it is the delusion of one mind.
I think that's pretty important.
Yeah. There are no separate minds with separate delusions. The thoughts you think are heard by one mind, and they affect the fantasy in the mind. I mean, this is what we've been learning about the code, right? You choose the higher vibration, and the vibration of everyone is lifted because there is only one. It's just it's just so hard to see this sometimes from the.
Yeah, it's a matrix that we watched a
Yeah.
couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it just gets fed back into that code, either the higher vibration or the lower vibration, but it's one mind. It's not like Connie has some separate, or Jacqueline has some separate
World and got
existence.
parallel.
Yeah, and we happen to be sharing this. No, it's one.
Right.
One mind.
One grand illusion.
Yeah. The thoughts you think are heard by one mind, and they affect the fantasy in the mind. When you tell the mind that the world is not real, through your thought and your seeming action, the world hears this thought through the mind, because the world is a thought in the mind.
Would you read that again? Okay.
When you tell the mind that the world is not real, both through your thought and your seeming action, the world hears this thought through the mind because the world is a thought in the mind. The world will react as the mind reacts to the thoughts that have been given it. Yeah, and remember, I mean, this can be a real point of confusion, I think, for those of us who've come up through A Course in Miracles, because I'm not sure it was entirely clear there, or maybe it's a path everybody takes till you figure out that one means one, and not a bunch of minds closely related. No, it's one mind.
Yeah, I figure someday we're gonna really know. The course. There were some things that the course just did not define and let you come to, and I would assume that's because you having to figure it out, go in there and make it reasonable or whatever, made it personal. And I mean, there's really not much of a definition, even though there's a segment in there that says what is forgiveness. There's not much of a definition of forgiveness in the whole book, but the whole book is about forgiveness. So, I don't know what point I was making now.
We were talking about wait a minute, I don't know, I lost my spot.
Okay.
Yeah, when you tell the mind that the world is not real, both through your thought and your seeming action, the world hears this thought through the mind because the world is a thought in the mind. The world will react as the mind reacts to the thoughts that have been given it. So we were talking about how the code and how, every thought that you have is literally heard throughout the one mind. So it's literally heard around the world. It's literally heard by every human being, a supposed human being, right? But
Yeah, so and I started out by just saying that can be a difficult thought to get. It's like, oh, you mean somehow my separate mind then is somehow related to one mind. You know, you still get this overlord picture, right? And there's this one mind that I'm kind of like tethered to. So it's just really hard, and I guess because we're turned 180 degrees in the opposite direction, it's really hard to get oneness. It's really hard to get that, no, it's not like you're somehow connected to the one mind. There's one mind, period. So if a thought is believed in the one mind, it obviously feeds into the one mind. Yeah. Let's see. Cheryl writes, "The veil across the face of Christ, the fear of God and of the salvation, and the love of guilt and death, they are all different names for just one error, that there is a space between you and your brother, kept apart by an illusion of yourself that holds him off from you and away from him. The sword of judgment is the weapon that you give to the illusion of yourself, that it may fight to keep the space that holds your brother off, unoccupied by love."
Sweet.
Yeah. Chapter 31, the Savior's vision. Yeah, that's exactly saying exactly what we're talking about here, as if there could be a space between you and your brother, and you're like, oh, well, I'll cross the space. That's not actually even it, you know? It's like, no, there is no space.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. As you accept that the world is not real and therefore can have no effect on you, the mind will begin to awaken by seeing for itself that a dream cannot affect the reality of existence as it is. Michelle, kind of like beer. I think she was talking about Regina Light. Let's see. The mind will begin to awaken by seeing for itself that a dream cannot affect the reality of existence as it is.
Yeah, I think the point here is there's paradigm shifts that we can only kind of get a slightest glimpse of until we have that experience where we know there is no world. We're not, or the paragraph before said, we're not acting like there's one and believing like there's one, and then coming to a class and and going, there isn't one, you know. I mean, but you come fully conscious of that. And there's a paradigm shift that's even hard to talk about here.
Yeah, because it's, well, and that's what I started to say a while ago. You were saying the course left so much undefined. But I think, you know, because what we know is all of these terms ultimately come down, because there is only one thing and one truth. They all come down to the same thing. And of course, that's right up front. Love is beyond what can be taught. You know, so the truth of who you are is beyond what can be taught. So the course is really all about purification. But I get your point. That, yeah, it's like, could you just define the damn word for me?
Yeah. Give me a concept that I can.
Right, that I can hang my hat on and go, well, I learned
Yeah,
that.
exactly. Well, exactly. Yeah, so the course is taking you up to the edge, and then you got to leap.
Yeah.
That's what it amounts to. But they're talking about when you leap, you start to have these paradigm shifts and and you know that the dream can't affect reality, and you know your whole cause and effect modalities change.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, and I don't know why we're spending so much time on the course tonight. We're supposed to be teaching NTI, but it says, you know, you have to give up every belief you ever thought was true. NTI says the same thing. All right, so let's pick up here, page 320, bottom of the page. This service that you perform of not believing in the world. I like that. This service that you perform.
Oh, it's sweet. It's really sweet.
Of not believing in the world and of not acting as if the world is real is a service you provide for yourself and for the entirety of the one mind that you are.
How sweet is that?
No part of the mind is left out of the benefits of the service you perform. You know, I remember asking Regina years ago, the whole thing seems really kind of selfish to me, says I. and really struggling with that idea that it's like, you know, so wait, so I'm not going to go out and feed hungry children. I'm not going to go save the whales. You know, I'm not going to do any of these things that we think of as, you know, selfless. I'm going to sit in my living room all day long and meditate. And how is this not selfish?
Well, I can tell you somebody who says, yeah, what are you all doing for the world?
Right, I bet I know who that's your partner you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not helping hungry children, and you're not helping abused children, and you're not helping the sick, and you're it sounds like a pretty selfish group to me.
Yeah. And from the ego perspective, and certainly was the question, it was the same place I was coming from when I asked Regina the question, you know, wait a minute, this sounds, I want to do that, but it sounds really, really selfish. So what gives? And this paragraph is in answer to that. This service that you perform of not believing in the world and of not acting as if the world is real is a service you provide for yourself and for the entirety of the one mind that you are.
How perfect.
No part of the mind is left out of the benefits of the service you perform. And the benefits are really the release from the illusion. It's the release of all seemingly suffering children and the people who suffer when they look at suffering children. And, you know, it's just
kind of like pulling the string off the wrist in The Nines.
Yes, at the end of the movie The Nines, he pulls that string off his wrist and releases the whole illusion. And that's the service that you perform. There's a part of me that still goes, yeah, that still sounds pretty selfish. It just does. I'm just saying. But it's the release of the one mind from the prison of the illusion. And the illusion was and is, what if things were different than they actually are? What if love wasn't the only thing that existed? What if hate and war and disease and, well, I don't know, whatever, pestilence? Oh, that is disease. You know.
Yeah, anything that's not love.
What if that was real?
Yeah, anything that's not love would have to be less than love, which would have to be pretty miserable.
Pretty miserable. And so so by continuing to believe in it and act on it, you maintain in the one mind, you maintain the suffering.
Right.
Because the suffering comes from believing in it.
It's kind of like having the perceptual loop for the whole world.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, so it's like being caught up in a mass that's looping.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool, Kathy. Kathy says, service, not believing in the world, a new way of thinking about what service means.
Yeah.
It's really cool. You know, back when I started this path in earnest in 2009, actually in about 2008, I kept hearing this word, service. I mean, it was bizarre. You know, you think you're going a little bit crazy and you don't tell anybody because they might take a mental inquest warrant for you. But I kept hearing this word, service, service, service. And, you know, one day I find myself hollering at this voice, what the hell does that mean? You want me to go stand in at a soup kitchen? I don't know what you mean when you say service. I'm not sure I ever got a straight answer, but I think that, you know, I think that's the beginning of the path. It's like, you know, service. Yeah. It's not service to self. It's service to the one.
Yes. And the really subtle thing here that, or for me, kind of gets subtle, is you know, once again, this is just a definition of what forgiveness is, because it's not believing in the untrue.
Right. It's a denial of the denial of truth.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, bottom, last full paragraph on 320. Through your service and your true dedication to this service, the mind is awakened to truth through what it learns. Through your faith, you are a teacher. And through your teaching, you are awakened by all that you learn.
Nice. This is just a real sweet section.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, you're serving your what seems to be your individual mind by serving the one mind. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what is that? Accept the atonement for yourself?
Yeah, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. All right. Page 321, NTI, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Do you need some...
I'm good.
Okay. Some magic?
Yeah.
I got some in there in the medicine closet. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The question that you always ask is how you are to live in the world without being a part of the world. This seems difficult to you and, in fact, nearly impossible. But I tell you that it is not. When you are thinking this way, you are listening to the voice of confusion.
Okay, tell me more.
You are looking only on the surface of things when you listen to the voice of confusion. You are looking at the world as if it is real, and you are looking at actions as if they are actions. Neither of these statements is true. The world is not real, and actions are not actions. The world is a thought within the mind of the Son of God. Now, this is where, you know, the kind of lofty language is where I think, at least for a while anyway, I kind of got lost in the course. Because, again, you go, oh, it's the Son of God in the mind of the Son of God, and you still kind of like place that outside of your own experience. I still kind of place that outside of my own experience. And this is the second time this thought's come up, so I guess I'm going to go there.
Okay.
And that was like when I did that interview with Suze Wicks, and something she said made me go, oh my God, because she was talking about the opening lines of Course in Miracle that say nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, herein lies the peace of God. And nothing real can be threaten. I always included this, somehow I included the set of an individual, Jacqueline, as being among the real things. And so I'm like, oh, well, you know, because I'm real, then, you know, whatever, this war can't affect me, this lack of money can't affect me, this relationship issue can't affect me, right? Because I'm the real, nothing unreal exists. So I'm cool. And when I was speaking to Sue Wicks, it just clicked, you know, like these things do, through grace, I guess. Jacqueline is the unreal. That's why the peace of God lies in the reality that is beyond, before, and transcendent of Jacqueline. Yeah. So. That's the second time that thought has come in my mind in this reading tonight. So I just want to go back and, So I was looking at those opening lines for 30 years and it's funny because it just doesn't dawn on you until it dawns on you
yeah.
that you've got that like it's a little secret thought stuck in there. You know, I'm cool. I'm good.
I'm good because I'm in the first part of that syllogism, right?
Before the but.
Right. So, and it seems like this is speaking to the, not believing in the world of Jacqueline, service to self. Amen. Kathy says. But yeah, so this seemed to speak to that. So let me just start at the top of the paragraph and see. You are looking only on the surface of things when you listen to the voice of confusion. You are looking at the world as if it is real, and you are looking at actions as if they are actions. Neither of these statements is true. The world is not real, and actions are not actions. The world is a thought within the mind of the Son of God. That's the one, right? Nothing exists outside of the one mind. That was the point that took us on that detour. The world is a thought within the mind of the Son of God, and all actions within the world are the expression of thought. Therefore, you must look beyond the world and beyond the action to the thought which spawns the image. It's funny. I've got notes in here from, you know, where we studied this with Regina out in at the Center for Inner Peace in Puebla. And what I've written in the margin right after that paragraph is, quit seeing yourself as a person. But that's it. Quit seeing yourself as a person. You must look beyond the world and beyond the action to the thought which spawns the image. And the thought which spawns the image is it's that fundamental thought that Cheryl wrote, you know, the quote about from A Course in Miracles. It's a fundamental thought that I'm a separate entity within a world of separate entities. I am not the one mind. I'm not the one mind. That's it. That's the belief, that there could be something outside of oneness, that I could exist somehow outside of oneness. Right? You're looking at me funny, so I'm...
I'm not getting your point. Say it again. Sorry.
So it says, let me just back up. Therefore, you must look beyond the world and beyond the action to the thought which spawns the image. So don't look at the world and see it as if it's real. Or what you do in the world doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter because the world's not real. So you got to look beyond these thoughts. And you got to look beyond the fundamental belief that causes the thoughts. Therefore, you must look beyond the world and beyond the action to the thought which spawns the image. The thought which spawns the image is there are separate entities, of which I'm one. I am not the one mind. That's the thought that spawns the image of the world.
Yes. Yeah. So, you said another way, quit seeing yourself as a separate person.
Quit seeing yourself as a person. This is why I ask you to look within and not at the world. When you look at the world, you are tempted to guess at the thought that is in your brother's mind.
Not me.
But can you guess the thought that is in your brother's mind? No, you cannot guess. Dumbass. Oh, it doesn't say dumbass there. No, you cannot guess. You cannot guess by what you see in the world or by his actions. For his thought is unknown to you. You see only the surface, which is unreal. Therefore, you cannot judge your brother by what you see. And, you know, I had a real healing experience around that involved this very process. It was, that thought of unworthiness, which could still stand to be healed some. Let me guarantee you. But big healing, whatever, that I had with that was I saw very clearly, and Holy Spirit did that thing where you get these this slideshow of all the times that you've believed this and you've participated in that sickness.
But I would go, oh, well, she probably thinks that I should buy better clothes. Or she probably wonders why I took so long to get down here for dinner or whatever. So I was projecting these judgment thoughts onto the people around me.
And then being mad about it.
And then being mad about it. Going, well, I don't like her anyway. But I know it's a bit extreme. But so I was projecting that onto them and then believing it about myself, believing that they thought this about me. And right. That maintained that thought of unworthiness. Now, even the I am bad thought, even under that, is this fundamental thought that we talked about. I mean, you couldn't even have those thoughts if you don't believe there are separate minds that have separate thoughts that I, you know, I mean, the whole spiel goes with the, when you give up that fundamental belief. But to think that I can know what's in your mind and then judge you for it, I mean, that's what we do all day long. But, you know, when you talk about it in the way we just did, it's absurd.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so subtle. You just,
you're doing it.
You just hook, line, and sinker. You're just like, well, I can't believe they think that way about me.
Yeah. You know, and I haven't said a word.
I know. Do-do-do-do. Just, yeah, you know, like you said, a dumbass.
Yeah. Well, come on. Come on. All right. So let's see.
8.
Thank you. If you look at the world, by the way, my little note there in the margin said, oh, wait, I didn't finish that, actually. No, you cannot guess. But can you guess the thought that is in your brother's mind? No, you cannot guess. You cannot guess by what you see in the world or by his actions, for his thought is unknown to you. You see only the surface, which is unreal. Therefore, you cannot judge your brother by what you see. And the note I have written here in the margin, my job is to accept everyone and everything. And that's, of course, the loving all method, right? If you look at the world and you think you know your brother's thought or motive, you have only uncovered a thought or idea within your own mind. It is not your brother's mind. It is not your brother's mind. Sorry, the cat was pushing buttons on the computer. It's not your brother's mind that you see when you look at the world. You see your mind, for you are looking at the world through the filter of your own thoughts. This is why I ask you to stay focused within. Look within your mind and your heart before you look at the world. Oh my God, that's what we were saying last week, right? You got to look in first before you look out. Because otherwise you're looking with the eyes of division. Otherwise, you're looking at the stuff and seeing it as real. Otherwise, you're looking at stuff and giving it meaning. Right?
Yeah.
So you got to look into your heart first and then look out at the world. Look within your mind and your heart before you look at the world. Know your purpose, which is the true desire of the heart. Let your purpose lead you in all things. In this way, all actions that you take will be an expression of the true heart. So all actions shall be giving of the thought of love rather than its opposite, which is, you know, what we've done.
Sweet. Yeah. And once again, we're simply talking about forgiveness. We're not letting the senses tell us what seems to be on the surface, what's true. We're denying.
Uh-oh. Let me see if y'all are still here. I think you are. Okay.
We're denying the denial, as you say.
Denying the denial of truth.
Because we're no longer willing to participate in believing what's so superficial and surface.
Yeah, we're willing to let go of the filter, and that's what you do. If you're not looking through your heart, you're looking through your filter.
Right. And, you know, when you're in a class like this, it's easier to go out and to drive under that type of scenario and with that consciousness. But So what this is advocating to do, that we do, is we look at our purpose. Whenever something jumps up and you get that barometer, that negative juice or whatever.
Yeah, it's like going to your heart first.
Yeah.
Stop right there. And go into your heart first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there proceed.
So I'm just saying, well, to go in your heart first might, for myself personally, might be something like what is my purpose?
Which is exactly what that says too.
Yes, which because you know on the surface level here, it looks like he's being a dick. He's thinking this about me or whatever. I'm not going to put up with it.
Well, so is my purpose to get home 10 minutes sooner?
Exactly. So I have to look at what my purpose is. Oh, my purpose is the forgiveness, which is not believe what seems to be displayed on the page here.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh.
So that really happened, didn't it? Oh, it did.
The cat will tell you that. So there was this brilliant flash of light, and I thought Connie and I just transcended the world.
Oh, we're back.
He was lightning. I think. I don't know. I'm not going to color it with that filter.
That's right. We were gone, but now we're back.
Okay. So, let's see. That's exactly what it says here about your brother. It's not your brother's mind that you see when you look at the world. You see your mind. You see your mind, for you're looking at the world through the filter of your own thoughts. And the alternative way of looking, let your purpose lead you in all things. In this way, all actions that you take will be an expression of the true heart. So all actions shall be giving of the thought of love. So we are on page, that is actually the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are now ready to start 2 Corinthians chapter 11, page 322 of NTI. I ask you to rest the mind. There's an important reason for this request. When you look at the world, you are looking at the thought of confusion. That's powerful.
Yeah.
When you look at the world, you are looking at the thought of confusion. This is quite literally what the reflection of the world is. It is the thought that fantasy has become reality, and that is the thought of confusion. It's impossible. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists, right? It's impossible that fantasy become reality. It's impossible that we could have created something outside of oneness, that we could have created something out of love, outside of love.
Yeah, so really, anytime we're looking out and about, we're looking at the confusion of the mind.
Right. When you look at the world, you look at the thought of confusion. And so, it is thoughts of confusion that come into your mind as you look. You hear these thoughts, and you believe them, because confusion has influence over you.
You ain't me.
I ask you to rest the mind. Resting is the realization that confusion rules in the world. And it is also the decision not to be ruled by confusion anymore. In resting the mind from thoughts of confusion, you let them float away unbelieved. You ain't me. Then thoughts of wisdom may be given. Yeah,
Yay.
You make that space. Yeah, absolutely make that space. The room for grace to come in, the room for healing. I mean, it's the same thing. We've been talking about the Course all night. I don't know what that is, but, you know, it's like, it's the same thing the Course is talking about when it says, you know, and NTI says it, give those thoughts to me. You know, give those thoughts over to Holy Spirit. Be willing to let go of the thoughts that you see in the mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And every day we're becoming more and more in a state of being able to realize you ain't me.
Yeah.
That thought's not me. Yeah. That's not the truth of me. So if that's not the truth of me, it's not me. Because what am I? I am the truth.
Sweet. Yeah, those thoughts seem less solid.
Yes.
And you begin to get the joke. I mean, they do become absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody let us in on the joke. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of being mad all the time, it's just friggin' funny. If that was true, it'd be sad. Ha ha ha.
And Kathy emphasized, resting is the decision not to be ruled by confusion thoughts.
Yeah,
by confused thoughts. Resting is the decision not to be ruled by confused thoughts. Thoughts of confusion.
Yeah, and I think that's perfect, because something does jump up and you go, wait a minute, something's off here, right?
Yeah.
So let me rest this thought for a minute.
Yeah. Just for a second. Just enough for wisdom to come in. Enough for grace to get its foot in the door.
Yeah, just make a little space there for something else besides that just bruising on through with my way or the highway. Yeah, just a little resting space.
Tiny little pause.
Yeah. Sweet.
Thoughts of wisdom come from you, capital Y. Thoughts of wisdom come from you, not confusion. Thoughts of wisdom spring forth from me, capital M, me, which is the true desire of the heart. Do not be confused. The world is confusion, and thoughts of the world are thoughts of confusion. Thoughts of confusion are not your truth. So thoughts of confusion are not the thoughts you want to attempt to share.
Nice.
The mind is tricky because the mind is split. On your own, you cannot trust the thoughts of the mind. Thoughts of the mind may seem righteous when they are but confusion. Never had that experience. To listen to the mind without testing it is to risk listening to confusion as if it makes sense.
To listen to the mind without testing it.
Right. The test for mind, this comes in the next paragraph. Oh. The test for mind is purpose. It's
okay,
the same
thanks.
Thing you said a while ago, right? Yeah. And purpose is the true desire of the heart. Because the heart is not at the surface of the mind must rest to be tested by the heart. If you can shut those thoughts up for a moment, right? I mean, it's just really what we were saying. Just rest for a moment. And we talk about grace, quote-unquote, coming in. Wisdom, quote-unquote, coming in. But the truth of that is that these things are the truth of our being. So, you know, it's like we've heard every teacher who's ever spoken talk about just seeing the blue sky behind the clouds, you know, those clouds just being blown away for a moment, right? So that you can see the truth of peace, love, happiness, all of those things that lie beyond the clouds of confusion.
Yeah, it's just allowing for a fun little shift.
Yeah. By resting.
Yes.
That's simply resting.
Yeah.
And that's the willingness
that's
talked about. That's the little willingness. I'm willing not to believe this thought, even though it seems to be in my face. I'm willing to rest that.
And how sweet is that? I mean, how gentle is that? How loving is that? You know, all that's really being asked of you. You don't have, you know, you need to do nothing. It's kind of where, again, a course reference. But, you know, as this stuff comes to you, just step back from the ego. Give it a friggin' rest for a moment, right?
Right.
And let the peace of God flow in.
Or flow out.
Or flow out.
Right.
How sweet.
How sweet. How sweet. Okay. The test for the mind is purpose. And purpose is the true desire of the heart. Because the heart is not at the surface of the mind must rest to be tested by the heart. But the test is not difficult. The rest need not be long. It only takes a moment to remember your purpose. It only takes a moment to remember your purpose. And only an instant to make the mind subordinate to the heart. Wow, wow, wow. That is some powerful stuff. Only an instant to make the mind subordinate to the heart. It's just that tiny pause of willingness.
Yeah, and it's like you were saying the other night. You know, it's just every step. You don't have to make it across the board, but waking up moment by moment by just being willing to just to do this seemingly innocent practice and having a transformation that's beyond words.
Yeah. Cool. Do not fear that you do not know confusion and do not know the purpose of the heart. You do know. It is written within you by the nature of your truth. Regina was teaching the other night, and she was talking about Ramana saying, you know it just like you know that you're a human being and not a goat. I mean, it's just something you know. I never get confused and go, oh, I thought there for a second I'm a goat. It's just something that you know beyond knowing, Seek only for a moment to test your thoughts. Seek only for a moment to test your thoughts by the true desire of the heart. And the light of the heart shall shine, that you may see your thoughts truly. Yeah, it's just taking the moment. You cannot be confused within the light of the heart. For the light of the heart is your memory of truth. The light of the heart is your memory of truth. And your memory of truth knows not of confusion. So confusion must disappear in its light. Free yourself from encirclement within the world. Free yourself from its confusion. Quiet your mind and ask the heart within. From the depth of your heart, your freedom is known.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. What a sweet chapter.
Yeah, yeah. It is powerful. Okay, guys. We'll stop here. Cheryl, for the record, we read NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 9 through chapter 11. We'll start next week with chapter 12. As always, we appreciate the opportunity to be here with you guys. And we appreciate you as our mighty companions on this journey.
It was really sweet tonight. Thank you all very much.
We love you.
Good night.
Bye.